sorrow rejoice. Hallelujah. Blessed Heavenly Father, this morning as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you, Father, for grace. We thank you, Lord, for this time and the privilege, O Lord, once again together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this fine day, Lord. And we look forward truly, Lord Jesus, to the coming. Oh, we always look to the coming, Father, of our Lord and Savior Jesus, because the world is travailing. And we know, Father, that the journey is not going to be smooth. It's going to get a little tougher, Lord, as day goes by. But Lord, we know these are the signs of the end time. These are the signs of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And we pray, Father, that thou strengthen every one of us. And Lord, by strengthening, we know and understand, Lord, that we need to keep ourselves in thy spirit and in thy word. And Lord, we are here, Father, to be taught, to get an understanding, Father, of what you want us to do, and your strength also in thy word that will give us, O Lord, the comfort and the nutrition, O Lord, spiritual food at this time to feed us in this dark hour of the world, Lord. So, Father, we commit this time to you that you bless now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and we are going to continue with our study on in the book of Daniel. And if you can, just turn to the book of Daniel now. We're going to approach to the studying of the 70th week of Daniel. Alright. Daniel chapter 12. Just go back to that last chapter of the book of Daniel. And we want to touch something here. Now this, as I said, this is not just a Christian service that you go to church and everybody sings song and then the pastor come out here, preach a good, nice sermon and you go home happy and you come back next week again. And no, we are not going to do that. We are here because this is a Bible study fellowship. We are here to be ingrained into the Word of the Lord so that in our understanding of the Word of God, it's not just the knowledge of the Word of God, but the understanding of what God wants us to know, so that we will have strength for the journey ahead and to finish the race. Alright, so Daniel chapter 12, and at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince which stand for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now let's look at this verse 1 a little and just touch on this. Now here we have this verse here. There are many different interpretations as usual, because when it comes to organization, when it comes to opinion, there are always many. And in this verse here, it says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stand for the children of thy people. Remember that this was the angel that was talking to Michael, I mean to Daniel. Alright, and remember that if you go right all the way back to chapter 10, was Daniel's vision when he was standing at the great river Tigris, or Hezekiah. Alright, that's when the there was a mighty angel that was standing upon the water of the river. Okay? And then there are two other angels that were by the side of this mighty angel, and they were talking. And this is the angel that was talking to Michael and to Daniel. And here he says, at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, the word Michael means Prince of God. Okay, that's the meaning of it. But the problem is that because it says here, Michael shall stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, talking to Daniel, thy people is the Jew. Now, so to many theologians, Michael here, they said, it means Jesus Christ. He was the Prince of God. Do you understand that? So that's why they take it as that Jesus Christ was stand for the people. But there was the word Michael is just a name of an angel. And we know that there are two angels that are already mentioned well and well known to us besides the third one who fell, that was Lucifer. So the only angel that we know well enough is Gabriel and Michael. Michael stand for the people, the Jew. Gabriel stands for the Gentile, the church. It has always been known by the fact that the symbolism of the name, the name means. So, because of the way it is said, the great prince, therefore they think that it must be Jesus Christ referring to here, that Michael was Jesus Christ. And in fact, there are many, I have received many emails from some pastors in India who keep on telling me that Michael here is Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to argue with that, because the word great prince means that they think that it has to be Jesus Christ. We know also the word prince. If you go back to chapter 10, and if you go back to chapter 10 verse 13, alright, chapter 10 verse 13, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, did you hear that? Right? Say the chief prince. One of the chief princes came to help me. So, when you talk about prince, when the Bible used prince, now there are many princes that, not princess, huh? There are many princes that are now moving in this little, what we call heaven here. You know what I mean by the word heaven? Heaven means the space here. It's a dimension that you cannot see. And those princes are fallen angels. Many of them, they are princes. And remember, Lucifer was a prince. You understand that? Prince means somebody in authority. That's what the word prince means. Is that right? Look, brother and sister, let me ask you. Are you princes and princesses? In the kingdom of God, you are. We are. Is that all right? God has made us priests and kings. Means that we have authority. There's no authority that's granted. So, in the angelic world, there are different levels, different categories, a position of the angels, archangels and the angels. You see? So, when you have archangels, they are called prince because they have a certain control. And Gabriel, Michael, these are two angels that are known as the princes of the heavenlies too. No wonder the Bible talks about wars in heaven. When you go up to war, you don't send little foot soldiers, you know. Right? You don't just send foot soldiers out to fight. You send the prince, you send the leader, you send the big guys that lead the small guys. And that's the reason why there are wars in heaven to these days, the Bible said. And there we have Michael, Gabriel, and all the hosts, all the angels with them. There are also other princes. I don't know their name, okay? But as I said, this in the Jew, they by their own somehow tradition, how it was handed down to them, they have many other names for different archangels. And they are fighting, heaven angels of God are fighting against the evil ones that took side with Lucifer. Do you see, understand it? So when the Bible says here in chapter 12, verse 1, the Michael stand up, the great prince stand for thy people, he spoke about this archangel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. Now, we want to interpret this, because there are certain people, certain theologians, they interpret that this, all that was written in Daniel, the book of Daniel, They are all histories. They are all fulfilled. It's already in the past. But it's not true. Because prophecy is compounded many times. And so when he says here, even to that same time, what time is that? The question is, what time? Is it the time of Antiochus? Epiphanes? Or is it the time of the end? He says that there will be trouble. Such as was never since there was a nation, even to that time. What time is he referring to? Of course, this was, remember Daniel, the history of the Middle Persian coming in with the Greeks coming hasn't yet happened, right? Okay, so was it referring to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, or was it referring to the time of the end when the angel told this to Daniel? Okay, so we will look at it a little closer and then we'll come to the conclusion. Now, let's go on. He said, many shall sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and then turn many to righteousness as a star forever and ever. You look at this here. In the days of the struggle for independence, when the Grecian under Alexander came, right? And Alexander died age 33, the whole split up into four nations, four parts. The whole Greek Empire was split up into four parts. Okay, now, during that time, there was so much trouble. Because this king of the Nile, referred to Antiochus Epiphanes, all those kings who was in the north, that is Syria, they came down to fight against Egypt and has to pass through Judea, alright? Pass through Israel. And so there was a lot of time of troubles for these children of Israel. You understand that? So we can see that it is true. And it was during that time also what happened. When we know that Antiochus brought this statue of Zeus and put it in the temple. Is that right? Defiled the temple. And then he brought in the pig and asked the high priest to slaughter that. Is that right? Now, here, if you look at verse 3, it says, there that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And there that turn many to righteousness as a star forever and ever. It was the Hasmonean family. Okay, the Maccabi, later on, of course, Judah later on became known as Maccabi, known means the hammer. Now, it was during this time that the high priest refused to sacrifice. The son fought. Remember, they fought this war. The Maccabi Wars. Alright. So this is what the verse 3 is talking about here. Because they were wise not to give in to this Antichrist spirit, anti-God spirit. Now this compounded here is, this verse is compounded to our days. Now we're going to see the squeeze coming on. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if the squeeze come on? You see, as what we know, Brother Graham says, all these denominations are going marching right back to Mama Rome. It's going back. They have to join the World National Council of Churches. In Singapore, there's National Council of Churches, which are part of the body of the World Council of Churches. You understand that? The image to the beast. They're gonna squeeze everybody who call themselves Christians to force them to be part of this ecumenical move. Why? Because why ecumenical move? Because first of all, ecumenism is an ochumeny of this world, of this inhabited world, cosmos. Now, the motto we know, or the slogan for them, is what? Fatherhood of God and brotherhood of men. So what does it basically say? We are all brothers and sisters, we all must have peace and live among us. First of all, you understand this is just leading to what? The man of peace is going to come. We know the world is full of trouble. We have all the fanatics out there in different religious groups, right? I mean, don't talk about the terrorist, extreme Islamist people. We already looked recently in America, this guy, this pastor Terry, who wanted to burn the Bible. You understand? Huh? Burn the Quran, sorry. Alright. He want to burn 300 Quran? Was it 300? Something like that. Okay. Now, what did he say? Which, of course, is pretty one way. A man is not sane to say that God told me to burn this Quran, right? But he didn't do it. Now, don't use God's name in vain. I say this. Don't say God told me this. God tell me this. No, don't ever do that. You see, if God tell you to do it, then you better do it, because now he didn't do it. So what? Did God tell him, or that he was afraid of the leaders of the world, and no longer afraid of God? So he must be lying. Was it a show to scare the people of the world, the government of the world, the leader of the world? Because why? By doing this, by burning the Quran, you got some extremist people out there in the world who, extremist Muslim, they'll come and start to create problem again. Right? I mean, like in India. I remember back in those days, the Muslims were fighting against the Hindu. And even against the Christian. The Muslim, Hindu against the Christian. I mean, the whole religion is always, that's how the war started. Every war is fought on a religious ground. We know that. You see. So, we're coming to this chapter 12. It tells us how we should stand. So, we need to be wise and shine the brightness of the firmament. Alright? And there that turn many to righteousness has a star forever. And but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Now you see the word here? The time of the end. So I'm asking you what time? There was never such a trouble time would come, such as the world had never seen. Huh? What time is that? Was it Antiochus' time? Yeah, they experienced it. Because there are always persecution, persecution, persecution. Tribulation, tribulation, tribulation. But there will be one that the world has never seen. And that is yet to come. Oh, people say, well, we have the history, they have seen, they saw it. They saw it over when the Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Empire came to power, right? How many million died? 68 million people died under the Holy Roman Empire in a period of 1,500 years. Yeah, the Holy Roman Empire rules about 1,000 years, but the rest of 500 years scattered outside of the Holy Roman Empire in Europe. Many Christian, many people died under the hands of the Inquisition, under the hands of the Jesuits. You see? So, but there is going to come a day worse than that one. You know? And so it says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Oh, this is the time we know. Knowledge shall increase, isn't it? Right? Yes. Knowledge increased like nothing. No, I heard that they're going to make a computer chip that's very thin and all. Wow, they can, I don't know how to do it. And my son told me that they're going, Intel is coming out with a light kind of USB sort of thing. You know, they could send thousands, and I mean, gigabyte, I don't know how many hundreds of gigabyte into what they call a little cell to store it, the data. Now, all these are possible. You look at how much technology has advanced, right? In the day when you have the big Motorola handphone. Remember, have you seen it? I've seen the Motorola handphone. And they used to advertise on TV, and a man standing on the staircase, drop it, you know, come on, come. He goes right downstairs, the guy pick it up, says, hello, I'm still here. You know, how solid that is, right? Of course, today your cell phone don't drop it. You see, so, technology advanced from big, giant little, nobody carried the cell phone. Today, anybody want to buy that? Even if it's free, I don't think you want to carry that around with you. You see, but today it's just so small, little thing, right? You have Bluetooth even here. Yeah, but next time, if Bible just some more tiny little thing, just fix it into the ear. You don't have to die, just say the word. Thou Sandy, you're Thou Sandy. Thou John, you're Thou John. And then you just talk, you don't have to use him. And so the world, the knowledge has increased where people's head gets bigger and the leg, the body gets smaller. And just an alien. You know, and this is what we are looking at. Knowledge increase, and this is what it is. Knowledge double and quadruple and so on and so on. You know, and it's really the world we are living in now that everybody is looking for luxury. So what did the Singaporean do in Singapore? Buy property, buy condo, buy this, buy that. That's what they don't want. It's always investment, investment. Alright? So let us get into the Word of God and just increase our knowledge of the Word of God. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, and one on this side the bank of the river, and the other one on the other side the bank of the river. There is one angel standing on this side of the bank of the river, the other one on the other side, but standing on above the waters of the river is the other one whose voice, when he heard, his whole body went limp. Alright? The one who lifted up his hand and swam, that's the one. And we are going to look at. And one said to the other man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters, the one who clothed in linen was upon the water of the river, is none other than the prefiguration of Jesus Christ. Okay? How long shall it be to the end of this wonder? And I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that live forever, that it shall be for the time, times and a half time. And there, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now here is a time, times and half time is 3.5 times, and this is 3.5 years. Which we'll know when we go into the book of Revelation, we find the same thing, which is the great 3.5 years of the great tribulation. Do you understand? Which God will scatter his own holy people, how he will treat them to bring them to that place. Now remember this, what God, in the Bible, what God did, how he dealt with the children of Israel. Don't forget, it's the same way he would deal with us too. And this one here says, now he says in verse 7, I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river. Now you all know what the water in the Bible represents. Now when the Bible in the book of Revelation chapter 10 said the mighty angel came down, put his right foot in the sea and his left foot upon the land. Now we know that when the Bible talks about the sea, in the book of Jeremiah also you find the raging waters of the sea. It's always talking about the Gentiles. The Gentile is all, you know, look at Israel today. And look at all the nations are about. It's always this Gentile nation that is always making a whole big hullabaloo thing, you know. You understand? But it says that stand on the waters of the river, and the waters of the river is always flowing. The waters of the river is the flowing time. Okay, he's standing there and that. Now, this vision, where was this vision? Where did this vision take place? It was in Mesopotamia. It was in Babylon. Remember that? Is that right? When the children of Israel were in captivity. You understand? So the river was a Gentile river, that's to say. So here's the flowing. This is a time where the what they call history or prophecy will fulfill. And Christ is controlling that Gentile time. Okay? And when he will take 3.5 years to which he will accomplish to scatter the power of God's people, the Jew, all this thing by then will be accomplished after 3.5 years. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Again, it is the time of the end. Not in the days of the Antichrist. It is still forward. Many shall be purified and make white and try. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and not the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. When the time that the daily sacrifice be taken away, and the abomination that make a desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, these numbers do not have to worry. We'll come back to that later on when we study the book of Revelation, or in the future. Okay? Now, you know times and a half time is 3.5 years. 1,260 days is 3.5 years. But this is 1,290 and not 60. So it's 30 days extra. But then he said in verse 12, blessed be he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days, which is 1,335 days. Altogether, 75 days added to the 1,260 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the Lord at the ends of the day. Alright, now, you know, so when we look at this chapter, the time is not just in the days of Antiochus Epiphanius' war against the Jew. Alright? Now we studied last week. Remember we're saying that how the Antiochus came down with his army to lay siege to Jerusalem? Okay, time and time again. And one time they came down with the elephant because they went across to India to fight. They marched over the Persian to the east to fight against, and over the south to fight against India. Okay, and that's where they took about to be there, 500 elephants. Now, elephants are huge, and they are just like mighty tank against the foot soldier. So when they came down against Jerusalem, and the Hasmonean brother, or Malchamian brother, they went out to fight against this king that came down. And of course, I told you that it was Judah who was actually falling for. It wasn't a Judah. It was one of the brothers of Judah. His name, it was in fact Eliezer, who thought that the king was sitting upon that elephant. So he rushed his way through, pierced the elephant, and the elephant died, collapsed, and killed him. So there was a great time. Now let us look at this chart, the 70-week chart. Alright? And I want to show you something here. Now, if you were to... Now, here we are. We already finished this. Okay? We are in this section where we are still in Babylonian captivity. And that's when Daniel saw this vision. Now, Daniel by that time would have been almost around 90 years old. Okay? Now, when we look into this book of Daniel, it comes from, it starts from here, Babylon captivity, all the way it described to this, around this place. But the 70 year of Daniel, when he described, it's going to end until the coming of Jesus Christ. You got it? Now, here we have this, that, remember the visions of Daniel. What we have is, the first was a lion. Alright? It was a lion with eagle's wing, which talks about Babylon. And then the second one was the bear with three ribs. Okay? And one of his sides was higher than the other. That was the Medo-Persian. Okay? And the Persian was the bigger group. You understand that? Alright. So now, after Medo-Persian came the Grecian, which is Alexander, which the animal, the beast that Daniel saw was a leopard with four heads and four wings. Now, Alexander came in 3 BC, but he died, you know, at the age of 33, at a young age. And then his kingdom was divided into four. Okay? And let us look at the map. Let us look at the map just to show you the... Now, this is the whole empire of the Grecian, as far as to India. Okay? Now, it broke up into four sections. We already showed it to you last week. And the first, of course, was under the commander Cassander, who was in charge of the Grecian part, which is Macedonia and Greece. This is Greece and Macedonia. Okay, the second one was given to his general called Lysimachus, who is in charge of Asia and Thrace, which is here, Turkey, in this part. Alright? And the third one was, of course, Ptolemy. Ptolemy I, which was, of course, Egypt and Palestine, which is around here. And, of course, the biggest part was given to the Seleucid, or Seleucus. And it is from Syria all the way to this, almost to India. Now, look at this map probably here. Today, if you turn to your world map, you will know this area covers several countries. And of course, their countries, of course, you probably know, is modern-day Afghanistan. Syria is here, Afghanistan. You have Lebanon, Iran over there, and Iraq, plus part of Armenia and Turkey, and also Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan. Okay? And you know all this area, all this, they were under that rebellious spirit. You know that? Always fighting, always full of the tribal problem. Okay? You understand that, don't you? Alright. And today, what are the countries that is always against Israel now? Syria, Iran, Iraq, and all those other they cover, many of these are very much anti-Israel. Okay, you understand that now? Alright, so let us go back to the chart of 70 week of Daniel chart again to show you what we're talking about here. So now when the Grecian, when Alexander came, this is the Grecian empire, this whole line here, but the Ptolemaic, alright, now this under Ptolemy, now under Ptolemy, as I said, we already know they divide the whole Greek Empire divided into four parts. Ptolemy rules the south, which is Egypt and Palestine. Okay? So when he conquered Egypt, when the Greeks conquered Egypt, he took that part. And you know what? The ancient pharaohs, back in the days of Moses, okay? You know, remember Moses? The pharaoh. They were the original pharaohs, the people of the Egyptians. But when Ptolemy went and took over Egypt, the people after, you know, they conquered them and he lived among them, and so the Egyptian accept him as a pharaoh. So he wore the pharaoh's, you know, I don't know if you call that crown or you call that cap or hat. Alright, so that's what they would wear. But of course, the Jews that were then in Egypt, they all spoke Greek. So much so that they forgot the Semitic language. They don't even know how to really speak it. Like many of us Chinese here, many of us Singaporean Chinese, we don't even know how to speak Chinese properly. Huh? Yes, sir. How many of you really know how to speak the real Chinese word? You speak your Hokkien, Cantonese, Teochew. I think there are many words you don't know. We can only perhaps get a few words through, you know. when we talk to common words around, we can. But when you talk about the higher, a deeper knowledge thing, I think we get lost. You see, and that's how the Jew, when they are in Egypt, they lost their Semitic language. And the Bible that they have, they have the Old Testament, they were translated into Greek also. So that's why they were speaking Greek. You understand that? Okay, now, so much for that. Let us go on to Daniel chapter 9 now. Okay, let me look at this. It was during this, you know, this is the area here. The Seleucids came. The Seleucid is, of course, from Syria. Remember, Antiochus is a Seleucid. Or Seleucus is from Syria, the king of the north. He came, and of course, there was Antiochus the fourth, surname Epiphanes, and he defiled the temple. And that's when this revolt took place, when the Jew revolt and struggle for independence began. Okay? And it was in this time that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came into being. They were two political parties that came into being. But of course, being that they are Jews, of course, they hold to the Torah. And, you understand that, don't you? They hold to the Old Testament. And make that their creeds. And of course, they give their own interpretation. Later on, become really religious. Alright? And it's only after the Roman came into power in 30 B.C., that or 63 B.C., that it stopped. Ended the Jewish struggle for independence. Huh? Now, the Grecian under Ptolemy controlled Egypt, the descendant, each king after another, called himself Pharaoh. And the queen or the princesses, they named themselves Cleopatra. And you probably know Cleopatra. And it was one of these Cleopatra that had relationship with Julius Caesar. You know the story. Okay, that's how it's all been. Okay, so this was the time, okay? After this Babylon lay siege against Israel, then came the Middle Persian, then came the Grecian. This time was the most tumultuous. Alright? For chaos. So much so the history is such a mess. And to today, among historians, they can argue their head off. Alright, to who was who the Bible referred to? And you can never accept it because it's so difficult. Alright, we go to chapter 9 now of Daniel. Here is where we have the 70 week of Daniel prophecy. Chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldean. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God and seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So now, Daniel, after seeing all so many visions, and he was concerned about what's going to happen to his people. Okay? And so he sought the face of God and he prayed and asked the Lord, what's going to happen to Israel? When will Israel return back and so on? Then we go right down to verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. So, in his conversation with the Lord, he said, yeah, Moses gave us the law, you know, we didn't obey, so this thing came upon us. Alright. I think that is one thing we should do. Remember one thing. Whenever you sin against the Lord, okay? Remember, you must admit, say, Lord, yeah, I know, I'm sorry. I disobeyed, you know, your word. I did things that I shouldn't be doing. Right? That's what we call repentance. We need to confess. And don't look at things as, well, in Malay here, we have tita apa. It means, well, let it be. You know, doesn't matter. Don't have a cold, indifferent attitude. That lukewarm attitude is one thing that will kill us. You see, and I told you this before, I said this before. Now look, I have been a Christian since when I was almost 12 years old. And I have been on this journey. I don't regret. I always, because God is real to me, I walk with Him, I talk with Him. And I make the journey, I already, determined. Like when you want to, if you join the army, okay? If you join the army. If you want to join the army, I mean, I'm not just being dropped in the national service, but you want to join the army. And you say, I'm going to join the army, I'm going to make my way all the way up to be the number one in the army, the control. Then you must really work hard to go all the way through. You already determined within yourself that you are going to take the vocation and go all the way. So if you want to be a teacher, then do it. Don't, after 3 years, go by. Now maybe I'll be a doctor. You go study after 2 years. No, I don't want to be a doctor. I want to be an aircraft, or maybe a pilot. You go and blow a 1 year, 2 year flying lesson, then you get grounded. I can't fly. Now, something is wrong with that. Right? You know your vocation, know what you want to do. I want to be a Christian, I want to go all the way, go all the way. Don't go halfway. Is that right? True. You see, somebody sent me an email with a video clip. I sent it to you, remember the runner? Oh, he was supposed to be in Barcelona, he was supposed to be the one who was supposed to, shoot up the first place. But while he was running, after, maybe 200 meters or something, his hamstring snapped. He collapsed on the track. And he stayed down there. Everybody, people already finishing the race. I think it was a 400 or 800, I can't remember. And then what happened? He got up. He grabbed his, torn hamstring, and he hobbled all the way. And his father, saw him in the stand, jump out, defying all the rules, they're supposed to jump into his father, jump into a track. And all officials chased after him, of course, you hold the son. He told the son, you don't have to do this. He said, no, Dad, I'll help to finish the race. That's what it is. So his father was with him. So his father said, you want to race? Okay, I'll go with you. But all we are going through is, I've got to finish alone. He finished alone. Think about it. It's what Jesus did for us. He came, He finished the race. Right? Yes. So can you take that? You want to run the race, run the race. Don't run halfway. Don't waste your time. I don't know how long Christ will come. No, I'm 62 years old now. I didn't say that at the age of 50. I said, I've been running about, 40 years now. And Christ is still not coming. It's not worth it. Do I turn around and go back to the world? No. I'll go on. Until He comes. Or He takes me home. We've finished the race. We've run the race, Paul said, and run well. And finished it. Because there waits for us what? Yeah, every one of us. Whether you come in first or come in last, as long as you finish the race, everybody got a crown. All golden ones, not bronze. Got it? Isn't it? That's what's awaiting for us. Crown of life. Alright, Daniel 9. Now here in verse 12, this prayer, and so God revealed to Daniel, and in verse 16 it says, again, Daniel's talking, oh Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem. He's praying for his people, Israel, Jew, and also for his city. Oh, his beloved city. You understand that? Well, hey, the Jew have a beloved city, and that's Jerusalem. Every the time when they were dispersed, how many times were the children of Israel dispersed? Out of their land? Huh? The first time was what? Egypt. Now, Egypt wasn't yet, Canaan land was not yet even held by them. So when they conquered Canaan land, and then what happened? In their disobedience, the rebellion came down from the north, the Assyrian and the Babylonian. They were taken captive, so the land was all gone. That was the first time. Then they went back. Then the second time they were dispersed in the diaspora all over the world. When was that? 70 AD. When Prince Darius came down. Correct? Then they came back in 1917, and in 1948 it became a nation. They got the land. Would that be a third time they would be dispersed? Look at the book of Revelation when that dragon sent out a flood against them. Right? Against the woman. Yeah, many will run. And the Bible said the earth would hide her. You understand that? Yes. So they have a beloved city, Jerusalem. They wanted that city. Because that's where Adam and Eve actually dwells. A lot of people don't believe that. They say somewhere in Turkey and Aramaic. That's rubbish. The Garden of Eden is not in Mesopotamia. The Garden of Eden is not in the Fertile Crescent. The Garden of Eden is Israel. And that place called Jerusalem is where Adam and Eve was when God created them. That's the same place where Moses was supposed to sacrifice his son Isaac. That was the same place that Jesus was crucified. And God said, that is where I put my name. And there's no other place on earth. Not in the vow. Well, you have this man who claimed that that's where the Garden of Eden is. I know my Bible better than that to know where it is. So they have a beloved city. What about us? Do we have a beloved city? Hey, do we have one? Yes. What is that? On the top of Mount Zion is the city. And the earth with glory, is that filled? Is that right? What city is that? What name is it? It is called the Holy City, New Jerusalem. The children of Israel always look for that Jerusalem of old. Because there are people, they always wanted the kingdom to be on this earth. And they're going to get it. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is not on this earth. It's a spiritual kingdom in a spiritual realm. Is that right? That's it. You see. And he's praying for that, and he was praying for that. He said, the Holy Mountain. Oh yeah, it was Holy Mountain, alright. Just Jerusalem was built on it. Because of for our sin and for the iniquity of our father Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all that about us. And we just think about this. Look at the message of this hour. We have a lot of reproach upon this name the reproach upon God and His message, and even upon His prophet. Just a mess. It's really a mess, isn't it? Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and because thy face is shone upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thy ear and hear, open thy eyes, and behold our desolation in the city, which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. Hear, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thy own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, have mercy on all of us. Deal with us. Guide us in our way. It's not for our sake of righteousness. The children used to say, you know, just like Jesus told Peter, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, and Peter, is not flesh and blood that I revealed it to you, but my Son. I mean, you know, just like a lot of people in Israel, because they are so proud being identified with certain place or name. Huh? I'm a Jew, you know. I'm a Jew. Look at Paul. You know what I mean? I'm a Pharisee. I want you to know that. Yeah. Isn't it so? Of the tribe of Benjamin. Let you know that, because Benjamin is a great fighter, you know. you understand how the people identify with that? Yes. We have this great prophet, whatever his name be, you know. Whether it's an Indian name or American name or whether it's a Arabic name. Everybody will say, we have this great property. So? God is not concerned about all this. You understand? It is for the sake of Jesus Christ that God saved you. Do you understand? It's not for our sake that He saved us. It is for the sake of Jesus Christ that we are saved by His grace. Got it? And He goes on saying, verse 20, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, a sin of my people, not only just his sin, but the sin of his people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yet when I was just speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Now remember one thing here, the vision that he had, later on in chapter 10, here was one standing on one side of the banks of the river, the other standing on the other side of the banks of the river, and in the midst there stood the one who was above the water. Who do you think those two men was? It has to be Michael or Gabriel. You know? If not, then some other mighty angel anyway. But here he's talking about the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning. Be caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation. When he was giving his offering, evening offering, that he came. So it's about Gabriel, Michael, always mentioned. What does Michael represent? He represents the prince to Israel. Gabriel represents the prince to the Gentile church. Gabriel represents grace. Michael represents mercy. The left and the right, there's always that. When Jesus Christ was transfigured on the Mount Transfiguration, who was beside him? Moses and Elijah. One represents the law, one represents grace. Is that right? Huh? And in the law that you find mercy. You do this, okay, you'll be alright. Okay, so you have this, the word and the prophets, or the law and the prophets. Always two, they're witnessed. And he says right now here, let's go on. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh Daniel, I'm not come for to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I'm come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Let us look at what I have it on the chart here. Now, I want you to observe carefully in studying of this, because I said this one thing. I studied when I was in the examines of God. Now, I studied a whole lot of prophecy. Okay? And comparing what this commentator say, commentary say, what this theologian will say, what this, you know. And there will always be a lot of interpretation. But the only way is when I get out of that system later on, after I came into the message, that my understanding become clearer. Because, you know, the longer we stay in this traditional religious, we will always have that problem. You understand that? So now look. 70 weeks are determined. Means fixed. You understand? Determined. I'm determined to do this. This is fixed. Definite. Upon what? Thy people and upon thy holy city. So it has nothing to do with the Gentiles. Is understood? Okay. Thy people, the Jews, upon the holy city, Jerusalem. Nothing to do with the Gentiles. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the visions and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. There are sixfold purposes here. Six of them. Now, out of the six, how many are finished? Now, there are people who say, all of them are already finished. Christ did everything already. You got it? They say, when Christ died on the cross, everything is finished. But look carefully and see whether it is true. Huh? The most problematic one, the most people are confused, is the word most holy. They said Jesus Christ, He is the most holy. Therefore, this 70th week, when Christ came and died on the cross, He was anointed as the most holy, and blah, 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 and so on. You know what? The most holy is never referred to a person. There's no way that you ever refer to a person. Jesus Christ, the Bible always says what? He is the Holy One. God is known as the Holy One, not the most holy one. Because you cannot compare holiness of a being. He is most holy than this person. His one is more holier than the one. How do you consider that? Huh? Only in denomination, religion, and man-made idea do we have reverence. Most reverent. Very, very reverent. You get this? You ever get a title? Yeah. You get a point. See? I'm very, very reverent gun. What do you get such a thing? Huh? What do you get that? You know, very, very holy. There is no comparison. The Bible says every one of us are sins, right? Yes or no? What is sin? Sin is anything that, you know, is contrary to the word of God. You come in, okay, well, in Catholicism, you have venial sin and mortal sin, right? And cardinal sin, there are three, yeah. Okay, alright, now, how do you quantify even a sin? How do you quantify that? Okay, if you go to a department store, and nobody is looking, you take a grape, point them out and eat. That's a sin. Okay, that's a grape-sized sin. Then you go over down there and nobody's looking around. Okay, you take an orange. That's an orange-sized sin. That's bigger. This is how you quantify. You spoke a lie. That guy killed somebody. You spoke a lie. Or you hurt somebody and that guy killed somebody. Which is more, which is heavier? Or in a country, of course, you judge, or you kill. A truth, a lie for a lie. You hate somebody, it's nothing, right? Okay? What did Jesus say? Huh? Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But you look upon a brother, you hated him, you already killed him. As far as God's concerned. Yes. Huh? Your word speaks louder than your action. Actually, it just equates to your action. Right? Oh, I hate the blood. I'll feel a slap in him. Oh, you did it, really. You already did it, you know. You don't know that. That's true. So you don't, as far as you're concerned, once you are sanctified, you are sanctified. So everybody is clean. Which one is cleaner? You take a glass that's dirty, you wash it. In some of these, what we call a bar, you know, restaurant, there were some of these people that are tending this bartender, yeah, they probably show any action on it. A glass is already clean, they just then they try to make it super, super clean, but it's already clean. How do you look at, how do you clean something that's already clean? Make it clean unless what you want. How do you do it? I think, I can hear the squeaky sound. The squeaky clean. It's cleaner than clean. That is no, you, what, something that is clean is already clean. And you are sanctified, you are already sanctified. You are already a saint. You are holy already. So how can you be holy than somebody else? That's why the holier than thou attitude is a put on, it's not natural. It's always a put on. It's a man looking at it. Hey, I'm more holier than you, you know. I go to church four times a day. Morning for breakfast, I go there for lunch, I go there for supper, dinner, something like that. You go there. You know, you cannot do that. Pray five times a day. Now, was Daniel who prayed five times a day holier than anybody else? No. We can say that he's more spiritual in a sense. Because he's drawn more close to God. Yeah, you can say he's more spiritual. But there are certain things that you cannot quantify. So the same thing in this most holy has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He's known as the Holy One. And God said, be holy as I'm holy. So, wow, God is holy, 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 super holy. How do I get to become super holy? It's just such a way. He's holy, that's all. And you need to be holy just like Him. You understand that? That's just the word holy. So when you look at this, which of these six four purposes, how many of these were already finished? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know, this is to determine. Huh? How many of them? Only one. There's only one that was accomplished. The other five has yet to be. Which one was that? To finish transgression? No. The transgression is still going on. Yes or no? To make an end of sins, people are still sinning. Yes? Correct? To make reconciliation for iniquity, that's the only one. Huh? He made reconciliation for iniquity when He died upon the cross. To bring in everlasting righteousness, the whole world is still unrighteous. He hasn't come in yet. To seal up the vision of prophecy, not yet. They say people are those who teach the orphanage when Jesus Christ came and fulfilled on the cross. That's why many people in the denomination who don't believe in visions. No more vision, no more prophecy. Okay, you understand that? Some denominations said, no more prophecy, Christ already finished, and the Bible is already finished. It's all there. No more vision, no more prophecy. And to anoint the most holy, which is, of course, the holy place when Christ comes and sit in judgment. So only one out of the six four purpose, only to make reconciliation for iniquity, was there when Christ died upon the cross. Okay? Let us go on. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince of the 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abomination he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolator. Now let us look at Daniel. He says 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city. Verse 25 says, therefore, know therefore, I understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince of the 7 weeks, 62 weeks. Alright, from the going forth of the commandment, there shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. 60, 20. 60 plus 2, okay, so 62. Okay, so the thing is that it's divided into three sections, 7, 62, and 1. Alright, the reason why it's divided is because there are trouble at this junction of time, okay, until Jesus comes, and then this 1 week is left in the future. Now let us look what it says here now. It says to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. To restore, rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. The Bible said it. I didn't say it. I want to show you what people disagree. That Cyrus was the one who passed the decree. They looked for Acathistus Longimanus. Okay? I think they all get themselves in heck, twist themselves into a nook. You know why? Because they're trying to force, Scripture to suit what they want. Oh, you can't do that. Prophecy will interpret itself. And you can look into history how it works. Do you understand? First it says, to restore, rebuild Jerusalem. What happened to Jerusalem, the city? It was broken down, right? Isn't it? When the Babylonian came down, they falls on the whole wall and break through the city. Huh? So the whole city was lying in ruin. Okay, so The message here says, the prophecy says, they are going back to restore and to rebuild the holy city. Unto Messiah the Prince. Okay. Shall be 6 plus 2, 7 plus 62 weeks is 69. Okay? And then he said what? After that, after this 62 here, Messiah will be cut off. But not for himself, but for the people. And then he says, the people of the prince, now watch your book, look right here. In verse 26. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. He said the people of the prince and not the prince of the people. Alright, one argument, some people say, what is he? He says, people of the prince, not the prince of the people. So it has nothing to do with Titus. Titus was the one who ordered, but the people are the one who fought. The people of the people of the prince are the one that went in, and they are the one that tore it down, the temple. Not Prince Titus, it's the people of that prince. The Roman people, they came down because they know that the temple was built with gold, overlaid with gold, cemented. So they break down the whole temple to take the gold. Alright? So the reason why they say it's not Prince Titus, they say it refers to somebody else. Okay? Now, verse 27. This is what we want to look at here. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Which is to say, after 62 weeks here, plus the 769, alright, there's 1 week left in the future. And he says, and he shall confirm the covenant for 1 week. Who is this he? Now, to many, the problem this he is, they believe was Jesus Christ. There was one theologian, well-known theologian. His argument is this. He says is that by grammatical rule, I'm not good at grammar and rule here, so the sister was supposed to be good. Who is good in grammatical rule? You know, they said, he said this, and he cannot refer to the prince or the people of that prince. Okay? He cannot refer to Messiah, the prince, by rule of grammar. You know, one thing I said is, that is why we have a problem. People think, those are the white people, many white people think that the Bible is it's written by American or the British people. What they have in their hand is a translation. And for that matter, Hebrew don't have the kind of language, English grammatical structure as the Hebrew. Huh? Isn't it? You see, that's why the English language is not a language that's easy to conquer. Is that right? Because you have east, was, were, has been, had been, have been, had been, had come. You know, you know how the government really is? Not like Chinese. Lie. So much simpler. You understand what I'm saying, right? He come already. Lila. No, why do you have the past tense and the present tense? You don't have this in the Chinese. Right? Lila means the past already. He's here. Or present perfect. Oh, what do you have? Present, past, present, perfect, present. I'm lost at that, you know. You see? So, but the Bible is not an English book. It's a Hebrew, a Greek book. So don't you bring English grammar and all this and try to say, he therefore refers to Messiah the prince and not the other prince where the people destroy the temple. Okay? So now, by saying now, those who, this theologian who believe that he shall confirm the covenant for 1 week, he believed that all these 70 weeks are already fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's why the sixfold purpose were all fulfilled. And he argued it the way he argued. How did Jesus fulfill this 1 week? Because he said that when Jesus came, he preached for 3.5 years. Right? Is that right? Preached for 3.5 years. And in the midst of there's a midst of the week, that means 3.5 years he preached and then he died. But there is another 3.5 years left. Where is that go? They say that, well, you know, after Jesus Christ ascended heaven, the Holy Ghost came, for the first 3.5 years the church was established. I don't know how you get that. So the 70 years of Daniel are all in the past, nothing in the future. Do you see what I'm talking about? Now, If you look at it here, in verse 7, and he shall confirm the covenant with Mary for 1 week. He said, confirm the covenant with Mary for 1 week. With many. For 1 week. Who are these many? If they said it was Jesus Christ who made a covenant with many, how many is many? Jesus Christ, when he took up the cup of the covenant, right? He wasn't even making a covenant with them. He just said, this is the covenant in my blood. You understand? And there were only 12 disciples. Is that right? And one is gone. So only left how many? 11. Judas is gone. He never touched the cup. He never touched the communion. You know that, don't you? Or you forgot? Huh? So it's only 11. So 11 are many. Is 11 many? Or is 11 a few? Fear not, little flock. He didn't say, fear not, big flock. Jesus Christ's flock is small. So he never made any covenant with many. You understand? These many here are the politicians, are the leaders of the world. When the Antichrist comes, he will make the covenant with many. Do you understand that? Alright? And it says, for one man shall cause the sacrifice oblations to cease. They said that when Jesus Christ died, all offerings cease. Well, it has nothing to do with that. You see, this is when the third temple is restored. Okay, in the future. That's what the Jews in Jerusalem are waiting to do that. Okay, then they will start their oblation and the sacrifice again. Antichrist will say, when he comes in the covenant to cause peace, he will wipe that away after 3.5 years. You understand? And for the spreading of abomination. You know what is abomination? Abomination is something that is very vile. Something very vile. You know, abomination is evil. Something vile. And it says for the overspreading. That means to say that once the sacrifice is ceased, in its state, in that place, okay, was overspread, will come into being this abomination that make it desolate. And he is the Antichrist. You understand that? Until the consummation, until the full end, and that determined, which God has already determined, then shall be poured up upon the desolator, the one who makes that things desolate. And you know in the book of Revelation, that's what God will do. He will make the seat of the Vatican City into darkness. And the desolator will be no more. Do you understand that? Let us just look at the chart a little bit. Now here we have the 70th week of Daniel. Okay? Here we have mark off 7 years. And then here is 62. So total from here to here is 69. Alright? Now, in studying this something about Daniel, there are certain things that we need to really take a closer look. One of the verse here is this. In verse chapter 9 verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. Unto Messiah the Prince. Not unto Messiah, but unto Messiah the Prince. Okay, now, we have different interpretation. The word they interpret is to shift the date. So, when they said that Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he became the Prince. Got it? And people say that the other one will interpret that, well, 30 years forward, he was a prince when he was born. King of the Jews. Yeah? You know what I mean? Not? When he was born, a child, he was the king came to worship him. There were three wise men, so to speak. They worshiped him. They give him gold, Frankenstein represent, he's a king and so on. So they said when Jesus was born, that was the fulfillment of 69 weeks. Got it? Now, there is something wrong with that. The only place when we look at it is look into scripture. Unto Messiah the prince, when the decree of silence was given 454 BC, all the way to the day that Jesus Christ rode on the donkey into Jerusalem. And what did the people cry out? Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's the Messiah, the Prince. Here, they recognize, when he rode into his city, the city that was built for that one purpose, for the Messiah's coming. And he shall come in. Of course, Jesus has been to the temple many times, but he never rode on the donkey, and the people never crowd to him as king. Is that? This was only one time in the last of his journey to the cross, that when he sat upon a donkey, rode into the gate of the city of Jerusalem, the people put on palm tree. Oh, here, all of a sudden, where did these people get the revelation? All of a sudden, you know, to cut down the palm leaves and lay it before him and hail him, King of the Jews, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. That's the only one time they ever cried out. That's when he was declared king unto Messiah the Prince. And what did the Bible say? And after that, he was cut off. He was there for the last few days. And then he was cut off. Meaning he was crucified. Do you see that? That's how when we look into the subject of Daniel, we need to be very specific as to when it marks. It is not at his birth. You understand that? It's not at his ascension. It's when he entered into Jerusalem as king. Alright, we'll close it for here and we'll come back next week, continue with that. Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for your grace once again, and I thank you, Lord, for the time we have to look into thy precious word of truth. And we pray, Father, in understanding prophecy, we may know the time and the hour that we live in. So, Lord, take the words that have been spoken and bless the people, Lord, and let the word sing into their heart, and they may recall the days of Daniel when he and his people were in captivity, and how that he pleaded and prayed for your grace and mercy to be restored back or given back to the children of Israel for what they had done. And surely, Lord, your grace and mercy reach out to them, and you have set up a time so determined, O Father, to bring about the people's iniquity to an end and bring them to the place that where they should be united with thee. So, Father, we thank you today and ask for your blessing also in Jesus' name. Amen.